All right. Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church and welcome everybody online. Good to have you all this morning. We just got thousands of people out in the parking lot waiting to get in. But good to see everybody. We got some new faces today, so that's good. And I hope everybody's got a donut. We had all kinds of food here for you this morning. If you're at home, you should have came up. But that's right. We're just going to sing a few songs and then we're going to have you get into your Bible. It's interesting that all you have to do is send out an email and say, this could be the most important message I've ever preached. And everybody come up with, I'm going to quit. I'm going to run for president. I'm going to do all this other stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's, what I'm shooting for is revival. Here we go. Coming out to thee, O Christ my Lord, trusting only in thy precious word. Let thy humble prayer to thee be heard and send a great revival in my soul. Send a great revival in my soul. Send a great revival in my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. And send a great revival in my soul. Send the Holy Spirit. Send the Holy Spirit now within, burning out the dross and that guilt of sin. Let thy mighty works of grace begin and send a great revival in my soul. Send a great revival in my soul. Send a great revival in my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. And send a great revival. Send a great revival. One more time. Send a great revival in my soul. All right. Just keep singing. I love this one. Jesus came near the cross. There's a precious a lot of good memories. I love the words of that, my ransomed soul shall find. My ransomed soul. There's a lot of truth in that. This will probably bring back a lot of memories for you too. Sing along with me. I come to the garden. Songs. I like the ones that have the messages. Thank you all for coming and being part of what we have here. And God just got some great things that's in store for us. And I appreciate BBS Radio. We were the headlined broadcast all week on their website, and they put the church letter out for everybody. So Don and Doug, thank you for doing that. And we were on the main spot of, so thousands and thousands and thousands of people saw our service, and hopefully they're all online around the world listening in on iHeartRadio and all those other places. We have a lot of people traveling today and this weekend, but we appreciate you being here. I know Jack and Dizelles were all up in Branson. They're up there. They do an annual Bible study thing that they go to, and pray for them and their safety, and some other people are traveling around. We want to go ahead and maybe call up the ushers if we could, and we'll take up the morning offering. Watch the chords, gentlemen, and we'll don't want anybody to trip. And you want to get your Bibles out, and you want to get maybe a piece of paper out. You're eventually going to get to God's Word. I promise you that.
That's what we're here for.
I sure hope so, because if you're here just for food, You're going to be hurting, but if you're here for spiritual food, I think we got it. I think we got it. Gilbert, would you bless the offering if you would, sir? Thank you.
Our precious Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you for bringing us together once again. We praise your name. We give you all the glory for who you are, strength and power. And Father, thank you for all those who are not here. I ask that you bless them. And I ask that they are joining us in Zoom. Thank you for that technology that you give us. And Father, I pray for this nation. I pray that you would bring unity, peace, and prosperity. And I pray, Father, that you would just allow this spiritual revival to take place. And that you would be upon us, Lord, so you can bless us and take care of us. I ask that you would also bless this time of offering. Bless the gifts and offerings that are be given today, and I ask that you just bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gilbert. God bless you as you give and all the ministries they go to. Yeah. Thank you. Are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
I'm glad to see you. Glad to see you. You get your Bibles out. Put them right there. Wipe the brow. Since last week, I want you to know that I've lost 6 pounds. How do you do, Greg? How do you lose 6 pounds? You don't eat. That's about the deal. The things are fitting better, so.
Called moderation.
I don't know what moderation is. I wish I did. I don't have that in my vocabulary. I'm all or nothing about it. We do okay, Curtis. Everything's on, and we're up and running, and live around the world, and on Facebook, and all these other different channels. And tonight we have Dave Paston's going to be on. He is the clinical worker at the Village Network, and it's a youth center that deals with foster kids and what the kids are going through right now, and how there is a huge need for foster parents right now in our country. And we're going to talk about some of the things that the youth deal with. And he's going to have some of his expertise. And then next week, you don't want to miss next week. It's one of those, you want to make sure you're there next Sunday night at 8 o'clock. James Brown. James Brown. Not that guy. No. His brother's Matt Brown. They're twins, and that just happens to be the twins that I named my firstborn, James Matt Williams, after. And James has gone through some stuff. I talked to him last night, asked him, would you be on the show and just tell us how God worked through you? And it's going to be an unbelievable show. That'll be next Sunday night. And look forward to that, and it'll be right there on BBS Radio. So, okay. If you haven't got your Bibles out yet, grab them and turn to the book of, I wonder if I was to give a $100 bill, if anybody could even guess what book I was going to be in today. I doubt if you could, but some of you already told me what I'm preaching on. And I think we're going to probably disappoint you all. The book of Daniel. And now you're all going, I knew it was going to be on prophecy. Sorry. We're taking a break from Jonah. Don't worry, we'll get back to Jonah next week. Remember, we left him inside the whale last Sunday, so he's going to be in there. He was in there several days anyway, right? He was in there for... he's in there marinating and getting all those fresh smells on him and upsetting the whale's belly. But we're going to leave him in there for a while to think about what he's been doing. And this is such a unique time for us. And you're saying, just our church? No. Everybody out there in the world. There's people saying things and doing things, and you're like, this is what we need to do. And I thought, you know, as I was working on this, it's like, you know, this is really what life is all about right here. This message, this word that I read and got touched by, because of the challenging times that we are in for Christians right now, as a result, we're defining times and we're unprecedented times that we've ever seen in our world. Clarity needs to be brought to the Church of God right now. To Christians, we need to wake up and smell the coffee, because the time is drawing near. But I want you to see how it happens, how we get in predicaments. And I want to encourage you that preaching is not just speech making and I'm out here to make a talk. I can find lots of things to talk to you about. And sometimes I do that. I chase rabbits that mean absolutely nothing sometimes. I don't know if some of you are getting more than that. All the time you do that. But preaching is a different category. Preaching is a word of God going out to the people at the perfect moment in history. So it doesn't upset my basket cart to say, hey, wait, Jonah, we're going to put him on hold. We'll let him marinate because this is the moment for this word right now. And I want you to take this word as if God is speaking just to you. Don't try to find your neighbor or elbow your spouse or your friend and say, hey, I hope you're listening. You know, don't text somebody and say, hey, I hope you're listening. You need this word. This is for you because this is for all of us. The timing is absolutely perfect for this message. And we are in a pivotal point in history, in our world's creation, in what's going on in our world with COVID, with the division that's happening in our country and in the world, with political unrest that's going on. And, you know, we're, what, 2 months away from election? Oh, things are simmered down. Are you kidding? No. And I think from this point on, it will never simmer down politically. They haven't been getting along for years, and now it's just fuel on the fire. There's always been a clash of ideas, thoughts, and beliefs, and the pressure of that is just overwhelming right now. The temptation, and I want you to listen, the temptation of being conformed to the world is higher than it's ever been before. You can't stand up for anything nowadays because everybody's saying, we can't believe in that. Well, you can't do that. You can't eat that. You can't drink that. You can't drive that kind of car. Don't you know the fuel emissions and the problems with that car? You can't. And it's just like one thing after another. So we have to stop and say, wait, stop the madness. Let's figure out, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And then be man or woman enough today to say, I'm in. And I'm going to have you, I'm going to throw that gauntlet down to you today. Are you in or out? This is your time to make a decision. Am I going to or I'm not? And you're all saying, what are you going to do, take up another offering? No, has nothing to do with that. And it amazes me. Some people thought this message was going to be, oh, we're going to be in the new building? You think the building, the structure, has anything to do with God's word? It's a building. Has nothing to do with God's word. This chair has nothing to do. Where we're sitting, it has nothing to do. We're talking about God's word and how it applies to our life. Where are you at? And I want to show you that when Jesus said, we are in the world, but we're not of it, Christians run into problems when they don't understand the difference between those two positions. We're in it, but we're not of it. Our worldview, the way we look at life, the way we respond to life, the way we respond to all the issues in life, does not come from our moment in history and the context of what's happening in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. It doesn't come, the context of that scripture doesn't come from whether we have a COVID situation where you're wearing masks or not. Has nothing to do with that. The context of that whole verse comes from God's word. Everything has to be based on this. And you say, Greg, this isn't the most important message. Oh, you missed it. Yes, it is. This is the most important message. Can you not see that everything that's happening in our world is trying to distract us from what is real, what is really important, what is really vital in your life? Can't we understand that everything that is going on with political and the race riots and the looting and all that stuff that's happening is just to divert us from what's real? Because we need to come back to this. How do we solve it? Vote in the right person? No. Get rid of the swamp and clear out Congress? No. Get back to this. When we get back to this, it takes care of the self. Will there still be right? Absolutely. But where do you stand in the middle of all that? And the stress and anxiety that we're bringing upon ourselves when it shouldn't be that way. Now, I have 11 pages, and I have to get through this one today because I want to get through this all in one shot. So I'm going to kind of, so hang on, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to go through this fast. The key to thriving in this world is to understand the concept that we're not of it. The key to impacting this world is to understand I'm not a member of it. Are we insignificant? Oh no, we're very significant. But we're not part of the world. And the vision to impact the moment in history and not to absorb what's going on around us and become like it. Churches are making the mistake by taking stances politically. Amen. We need to take a stance on Jesus. Anything less than that is wrong. And we have to make sure we don't do that. Now, we're not going to get into Daniel and talk about great prophecy, even though it's a good one. And maybe after Jonah, we'll get into that because chapter 2, 3, 4, and then right on down, it gets really, really, really good. And we can break it down to where it's not a Wednesday night Bible study, but we can preach through it. And it'll be good. But there's four people that I want to talk to you about. What chapter are we talking about? Chapter 1. So go ahead and turn to chapter 1. The importance of the decisions that Daniel and his three friends made in chapter 1 is the most important message for the day. Now, don't get me wrong, say, hey, wait, isn't Jesus dying on the cross and dying for you? Oh, yeah, that's, yes, absolutely. That is the ultimate. But I want you to see their decisions to trust in God. Daniel and their three friends. And they were, back in those days, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They have a huge challenge. And I just want to throw out a couple gold nuggets here to you to think about and read about when you go home and do your own study. They had a whole challenge with their identity. Who are you? The truth is, you're always going to be tested. They get tested to the max in this chapter. But I want to let you know, it doesn't have to be that kind of impact for you because you will always be tested. So it doesn't matter whether the country's going bad because you were tested this weekend. You'll be tested when you're at home alone in your room and it's dark and nobody else knows what you're doing. What's your real identity? You're being tested. Who are you when no one else is looking? Who are we when the spotlight's not on us and everybody else is doing their thing and you just kind of sneak off? We have to become to, in this age, nothing like that anymore and draw the line. Daniel and his three friends didn't have a choice in having to make a decision. They had a choice of what their decision was, but they didn't have a choice in having to make it. Church, we're at a point in our country and in this world that you're going to have to make a choice. What's it going to be? If Jesus Christ came back right now, you would want to be one of those going, hey, I always believed in you. I always did that. But if he just walked around with you secretly for the last week or two or for the next week or two to come, how determined and how decisive are you living for him? This is the time to let it make a difference, to make a stance of what you want to be. Who in the world are you? Some key nuggets right up front, and then we're going to actually get into the 3 points real quick. Are y'all ready? Y'all there?
Yeah.
Okay, making sure everybody's here. Let me get another drink, and then we're going here. That was all free. You know, that didn't cost anybody anything. Some of you are saying, well, it wasn't worth much, Pastor. But here we go. Don't abandon who you are and allow the environment to shape and determine your identity and behavior. These are just free gold nuggets. Has nothing to do with the 3 points. Don't abandon who you are and allow the environment around you to mold you in to certain behaviors and decisions. We're coming to a day that you're going to have to stand up or not. You're going to have to decide or not. And I never thought we would see this in America, but there may be a day where there's a gun at our front door saying, you guys got to shut her down. No more Christian in this country. Because when things happen like we're doing, and if we don't get decisive and get on the right track, God's hand will go, whoa. And when God's hand is removed from your home, your life, our state, our country, when he goes like that, all hell breaks loose. We are being protected now, and it's time that we stand up as a people and say, I put that in the newsletter this week, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what the other parts of the world's doing. I'm going to serve God. There's no more milquetoast Christians anymore. There can't be any mixtures anymore. You either have to say, I'm willing to die for it or not. And how many of you are willing to put it on the line? How many are really willing to go, yes, I want to be known? A lot of us are secret Christians. But don't let it get out. There's a corresponding relationship between who we are and your behavior. So if your behavior stinks, your relationship with God isn't too great either. We're always going to sin. We can't get perfect. But if your behavior, there's a character issue that we are being brought to right now in a very important way. Let me just jump right in now because I want to make sure that we get to this. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 is an assault on Daniel and their friends' identity. Just like what's happening in our country with an assault on who we are and what we stand for. And there's four words that I want you to write down by the margin in your Bible. And the first word is captured. Daniel 1:1, right in the margin somewhere, just by that first verse, 1 and 2, the word captured. I want you to see this. In the third year of the reign Jehoiakim of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar. I would not want that name in kindergarten. That's all I have to say. I wouldn't want to be in the NBA with that name. You would never get it on your jersey. Anyway. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Some of yours said capture it, take it over, overtook it. Verse 2. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put in the treasure house of his God. Little break. What ends up happening here is they take over the people and they capture the people. Okay? Now, in this, let's keep reading. Let's jump down to verse 5. Oh, no, wait. I don't want to do that. What ends up happening here is he captures these people, and he wants to, in Scripture we're going to find out, he has the most prized people in his possession of who he brings in with him, Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, I want to be able to capture them and brainwash them to become who I want them to be. Which sometimes what happens to us in our own world is this happens, and in this, they bring back three captives and Daniel. And what you need to understand here is that this was all of God. This was all of the Lord. God had been warning the people time after time after time after time. You don't follow me, it's going to happen. You don't follow me, you're going to get captured. You're going to blow it. If you don't follow me, this is going to happen to you. Church, we're getting the warning. If we don't follow him, what's going to happen? I can't promise you a whale's going to swallow you like in Jonah last week, but something's going to happen. God's throwing down the warnings time after time after time with us. And he throws it down in this. And he says, if not, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. What do they do? What does the people do? Ignore God. So where do you get that out of these verses? But hang right there. But in Daniel 9, 5 through 7, it goes like this. Daniel prayed. We have sinned. We have done wrong. We have been wicked. We have rebelled. And we've turned away from your commands and laws. We haven't listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to the kings and the princes and the ancestors and to the people of the land. In verse 7, Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far in all the countries where you have scattered us, because of our unfaithfulness to you. Listen to me real close. We Christians think and assume that all the bad things that are happening in our culture today, COVID-19, unrest, political junk, and all of that, is the fact that our country is sinful. All of that may be true, but some of the judgment has to fall on the church, on us, on people. Because the Church of Jesus Christ, we have not been faithful. We have let things happen that we should have never allowed to happen. And some of the issues we may own, which have been cultural Christians and not really salt and light of the world that he tells us that we need to be, we blend in pretty darn well right now, do we not? Maybe in fact, some of your friends may not even know you go to church. Congratulations, you really pulled it off. Didn't want to get in that conversation. Oh, we can't do that. So some of this blame is us. And I have a biblical basis for that. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, write it down. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And you know this, turn from their wicked ways. I'll hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. You notice the first three words? If my people. He's not talking about America all getting saved. If my people, if my church, if my children will just come back to me, I will then make a difference in this land. Church, that's what we need right now. Our community, our state, our country are waiting. I cannot believe every week there is another minister that stands up in front of his church and go, folks, I haven't been right the last 10 years. I've done this and I've done that. And it's starting to rock the world. There's starting to become a division of who we are. And the church is becoming a laughing stock. When all God wants is just to be real. If just humble yourselves. Don't worry about the numbers. Just worship me and glorify him like we just sang. And God will take care of all the rest. And Daniel and his three friends were captured and they're put in this situation. And they're forced. They're captured. Second word, in verse 3, chapter 1, write down conditioned. Captured and conditioned. Then the king ordered in verse 3, Ashpenaz, okay, if anybody else wants to pronounce that, you're welcome to, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Look what he's doing. This is a key. If you ever want to take over a country, this is a key. Capture the people. And then look over all the people you captured and find the cream of the crop. And that's exactly what it says here he did. Does he not? Some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's house. He says, I want the best of the best that we've just captured in those youth. Now, you may, when we get up, and we won't get to there today, we may get there some other time, when they get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you know, these are the same guys, they just haven't had the name changed yet, but that's coming up here shortly. He's saying, hey, wait, they're a little older. Scholars say right now, and I don't know if the bottom of your expensive Bibles tells you how old these kids were, but some say between 11 and 16 years old. Most scholars say 13 to 16. Is what these young people are. They captured these people, looked out all over the crowd and said, okay, who is really good looking, cream of the crop, doesn't have any physical defects, that could be a quick learner that we can bring into so I can, King Nebuchadnezzar, condition them. That's the second C. Condition them to think like us. It's important here that these young people are not grown men. You know, folks, it's time that we as a country, as a church, as a people, stop selling our young people short. God used them in Scripture. God can use them now. You keep expecting your kids to fail. You keep expecting your kids to lie. You keep expecting your kids to be rebellious. Congratulations. That's exactly what you're going to get. But if you raise the bar and give them to God and start teaching them principles that we ought to be teaching them, they will rise to that occasion. And God has shown them these boys were brought up right, and they're getting ready to be put on the spot. They make good decisions. Our kids aren't all like that. They make good decisions. And he has a game plan here, Nebuchadnezzar, of what he's going to do is to immerse them in the Babylonian culture. I'm going to brainwash them. Last part of verse 4. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. He wanted to get these three boys and Daniel, the young, pliable ones, and make them like us. Saturate them in the culture. 13 to 16 year olds, we're going to make them, train them, give them the best, give them the most awesome food. But watch out, I don't want you to miss this part because this is very important as we get to the most important part of the message. Don't fall asleep on me yet. Wait till next week, okay? Verse 6 and 7. Watch what he does. Among those who were chosen from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, the chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. When you read this verse, you may go, oh, there's no big deal here. This isn't a big issue. Oh, it's a huge issue. Because back in those days, you didn't name your kid like I did after twins. I mean, I wanted one of my sons, Sinatra, but you know, we already talked about that a week or two ago. But just because you like the name or you like the music or, you know, that's a cute name. You know, and you have babies now and you just name, oh, what could be a good name? You buy books and you go through it. Oh, you know, Matt has Orion and Uriah. I think it's out of stars and stuff. He's into the science stuff. Couldn't pass science in high school, but he names his kids. I hope he's not listening. But you just come up with names. But back in those days, I want you to see the significance of this. And if you have room in your notepad or your Bible, this is going to be really, really neat to see this. This isn't to bore you. This is to give you significance. Daniel's name means God is my judge. He changed the name to Belshazzar, which means lady, protect the king. Lady being a female deity in the Babylonian Empire. Hananiah's Hebrew name means Jehovah has been gracious. He changed his name to Shadrach, which means I am fearful of a God because of all the Babylonian gods, and will submit to them. Mishael, Hebrew's name means who is what God is. I'm walking masterpiece of God. Change his name, Meshach, which means I am despised and humbled before my God, little g, meaning that this Babylonian God is greater than the God you used to serve. And Azariah's Hebrew's name meant Jehovah has helped. And they change his name to Abednego, which means servant of Nebo, the god of vegetation. What's significant here is every time they would call them by their new names, it would indicate to them, you have a new god. You have a new conditioning. You have a new belief. I'm trying to brainwash you in that you're part of us now. You're in our culture. You have life so good. Hang with me. That's what he was trying to do, and he's trying to brainwash them. That's exactly what our world is trying to do to us today. It tries to wear us down, wear us out, and literally have us get so tired that we go, okay, I'll believe that stuff. And people are following now, and I've never seen a world like this. They're following now. Their favorite newscaster has become a superstar. Their favorite actor is now, I don't only want to go see a movie that you can't go to now because of COVID. Of course, some of them are opening. But I want to believe what that actor believes. They're not only listening to good music on the radio or bad music, however you want to take it, but I want to know what J-Lo believes. I want to follow her. You see how it starts doing it? It starts brainwashing us and our kids that not only am I following the society, I'm starting to believe like them. I could care less what Robert De Niro believes and is going to vote for. Why should that matter to me? I could care less what Jay-Z is. Jeez, I don't even know these guys. Jay-Z or whatever. Jay-Z? Why? We ought to be founded enough in who we are. But it was enough to change their names to where they could get them to where they are. The devil always seeks to change your name. The culture and the world around you, folks, is not neutral. It's not neutral. It is out there now to change you, to change us. So we have captured, we have conditioned. Hang with me. And then we have committed. And I only got a few more minutes, but we're going to make it through. Verse 8. They couldn't do anything. Let me get to verse 8. This is nothing short of astonishing. Watch what happens here. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. I want you to watch. Think about this. Daniel and his three friends couldn't do anything about them being captured. They were captured. Daniel and his three friends couldn't do anything about the school that they were being put in. They were being conditioned. They couldn't stop that. They were being brainwashed. They couldn't control that. But the one thing that they got to be able to be controlled is this right here in verse 8. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and the wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. This wasn't just a decision. It was a resolution. Come to my palace. You're captured. Get the cream of the crop, and I'm going to feed you the best food. By the way, it's going to be food that was offered to our gods as a sacrifice. And we're going to take the meat and give it to you. And every time they took a bite, would defile what they believed in and what they stood for. And Daniel makes a decision. He says, I will not defile my body with anything that you give me. And I want you to see how this works. There's a difference between conviction and beliefs. Convictions are resolutions. Beliefs are a complete different thing. Convictions is a heart change. Things that you will die for. How many right now have something in their life that they would die for? Would you die for your belief in Jesus Christ? Would you die for your belief in what's going on in your family? Would you die for that? Or do we just fall into the line with everybody else? And you say, what's the big deal here? Because they remember Exodus. Write this down. Chapter 34. Verse 15, be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land. For when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you and you will eat their sacrifices. And God says, don't let it happen to you. He knew he would be violating their beliefs. Not his captivity. He couldn't do anything about his conditioning, but he could do something about his commitment. I'm not going to do it. That's what we need to do in our own lives right now. I can't control what's going on in our world. I can't control who's going to become president. I can't control who's going to riot outside our church, or who's going to write in Philadelphia or San Diego or wherever they're doing it now. I can't control But the one thing that I can control is I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going to stay with God. They made decisions despite what other people were saying. Stop giving flimsy excuses when you decide to walk with God. Why do we do that? So the question is, before we get to the last line, we got a few more minutes, and we may go long, so if we have to cut off, we will. Notice how Daniel handles this. Even at his young age, he teaches us an important message. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. Wait, connect the dots here, folks. Why did they give him favor? Why did Daniel and the three friends get favor? Connect the dots. It doesn't take a brain surgeon here. Why? Because Daniel just finally made a statement after all that was going on, after being captured, after starting to be conditioned. Daniel finally stood up and said, I'm not going for that. When he made a decision, what happened? God gave him favor. Are you wondering what's going on in your life? Are you wondering why there's no peace? And you're blaming it on society. You're blaming your depression on everything that's happening in the world. Take a stand for God, and he will show you favor. He does it here so many times. Now look down here, verses 10 through 14. But the official told Daniel, I'm not afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men? He said, I am afraid. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? And the king would then have my head because of you. Daniel said to his guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Daniel says, I'm standing up. I'm not taking the food. I want our own food. Give me veggies. That's all I want. Give me vegetables. And the ruler that was following and the servant that was following Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, but I want to tell you what, I'm not putting my head on the line, because if you guys start looking scrawny, start looking like really wimpy people, you're going to have to eat the meat, because I'm not going to put my life on the line for you. And watch what happens. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel and his three friends, verse 12, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. We don't want your junk. Then compare us with all the other young men that eat your royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. And he agreed and tested them for 10 days. Watch what the result is. Verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, these four looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice meat, their choice food, and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. God protects, God preserves those who obey him. When's the last time you stood up for God?
Yes.
When's the last time you made a stance that I'm not falling for it? I'm not going to conform anymore. This is a lesson that I hope the people that are listening and their kids are listening, because this is a lesson a 6-year-old needs to hear and a 96-year-old needs to hear. Kids need to hear. Now is the time, kids, to make a decision for him and him alone, to stand up and go, I'm not falling for the junk that all my other friends are doing. And when you get 57, it's no easier either. We fall for the same stuff all the time. The reason that this happened, because Daniel was resolved. And God said, get the boy what he needs. So God, number four, confirmed. Verse 17 through 20, confirmed. These boys never forgot who their God was. Because they never forgot, they remained faithful. Too many of us forget. Too many of us kiss up to the people that's around us. Too many of us brown nose the supervisor and do anything we want that they say for us to do because we want to just make it in the world. Verse 17. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time, sent by the king to bring them into the service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 19, the king talked with them, and he found none more equal to Daniel and his three friends, so they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, all the enchanters in his whole kingdom. They intended on changing Daniel and his friends, but God used Daniel and his friends to change them. Against all odds, God positioned them to thrive in Babylon because they remembered who they were. They remembered what they were supposed to believe. The key to your impact, and I'm done, is to be who God has made you to be, and then never walk away from that. Okay, now, you say, how can this be the most important message you may have ever preached? For that line right there. To make the greatest impact on you, on your spouse, on your kids, on your family, is to be who God's created you to be. God wants you to be. And then don't back away from it. Because the world's trying to get you to back away from it. We don't have as much adversity as we've ever had in our world as today. The anxiety of what's happening out there, it's calling you to get stressed out. But God says, stand firm, Greg. Stand firm. Be there. Don't give up on me. Make a resolve that I will never step away from my God, no matter what happens, no matter if you're captured, no matter if you start being brainwashed, no matter what happens at your office, you commit your life to Him. And folks, that is the most important message that I could preach in my life. Be what God's committed you to be. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you right now and thank you for your word. Lord, whatever this message was supposed to be, Lord, may it fall on ears of people that have been straddling the fence, that had one foot on the dock and the other in a boat, and the boat started to rock. What decision do I make? Lord, the most important thing we can do right now is try not to fit in anymore and just to stand up and go, wait, it's God, it's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. That is who I am in love with. and I'm following all the days. I don't care how many masks or face shields I have to have on. I don't care how many restaurants I'm not allowed to go into or how much social distancing they require me to do. I'm following him. Or make a difference in our lives. The time's coming where our life may depend on it. Lord, may we always make the right decision to fall on you, to follow you. Lord, thank you for who you are. Let us leave this place with a new resolve that it's about him. It's about you. It's about what you have planned for our lives and not just for us to fit into this world. We give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Have a good, awesome week. We will see you next week. Right here, same time, same place, 10 o'clock, Big Springs Baptist Church. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another edition of Big Springs Live. God bless. Have a good week. Thank you all.